So glad to be with you this morning. Great day to be alive and enjoy this amazing day that God has provided for us. You want to pull out your Christchurch notes. I know you do, because it is going to be an incredible message today about being a part of the kingdom of God and what God is yet still calling us to do as he's revealed some plans to us over the next 2 years. This is our Difference Maker series. We're going to be talking today about what on earth God is doing it, how God is doing it, and how we can be a part of what God is doing. That's what our theme is today. So you'll pull that out and find a pen or a pencil on the seat back in front of you and be ready to start jotting some things down that the Lord may be tugging at your heartstring. So let me begin by telling you a story. Let's do that. You know, it was back in about 2007, I believe it was, that I received a call from someone named Roberta Peterson. Rosemary and I have known Roberta for years. She was a member of the church where I was pastor in Greenville, North Carolina. And back in 2007, she had gone on a mission trip with her church. And when she returned, she gave me a call and said, "John, I need to tell you about this. This has so moved me, and I see the power of the Holy Spirit and the opportunity for the church to really do something significant to the honor and glory of God and to touch the hearts and lives of some kids that are desperately in need of that which the church can provide." And so she said, "You know, the leader of this mission over in Kenya is going to be in the United States soon, and I would really like to bring him to meet you." Well, you know, in light of full disclosure, I really wasn't interested in a mission in Africa at that time. We had a lot going on here during that time. It was just not something that I really felt was the way to go. But, you know, I like Roberta. I have good respect for her. And so I said, "Okay, you know, bring him over." And we set a date, and he spoke to us at Christ Church. And during the time that he was speaking, I felt undeniably the Holy Spirit tugging on my heart. I don't know how to explain it. I cannot truly put that into words that I think are comprehensible. It's just that I knew that we had to at least check it out. So at the end of the service, I held up a pad of paper like this, and I said, "Okay, you know, if you may be interested in going to Kenya with me to check this thing out, to do some exploratory work to see if God could possibly be calling us as the people of Christ Church to be involved in Kenya, just fill this out. Give me your name and email address and phone number, and then we'll see what happens from there." By the end of the service, 14 people had signed up, and within 6 months, all 14 of us were on a plane going to Kenya to check this mission out. And when we arrived, we actually went to Nairobi first, and we explored one particular ministry. And you know, it was pretty neat to see what God was doing, but it really just didn't feel quite right. And so we went to another ministry in Nairobi, and this one happened to be in the slums, in the Kibera slum, and we thought, "Well, maybe this is it. Just it looks right, it feels right, but we just don't know." And then we went one other place, and it was a full day's drive from Nairobi all into to western part of Kenya, out in the bushes out there, far away from the bustle of Nairobi, and we found a group of kids that just, I can't explain it. They just captured our heart. In fact, go ahead and put the picture up. This is the group of kids, and you can see those of us from Christ Church who traveled there as well. Bishop Henry Onsongo there in the center of the picture in the red shirt. We found this group of kids out in this very poor village, far away from anything that you'd call civilization, meeting in an old abandoned building to go to school. There was no school for them except these two rooms and this old abandoned building. They weren't even there legally. They didn't own the building. They didn't rent the building. They just were squatting in the building to go to school. In fact, the woman there on the left, green dress, member of the community, said we've got to do something for the kids in this community. And so she started this little school in this abandoned building. No electricity. No, by the way, no desks, no tables, no chairs, no chalkboard, no chalk, no paper, no pencils, no books. These kids, about 36 in each classroom, meeting, and the classroom, by the way, was smaller than my office. If you've ever been to my office upstairs, you know that trying to get 36 people in there on a regular basis is not going to be very comfortable. In fact, how they did their lessons, the teacher would teach, and then each kid would write with their finger on the dirt floor their A, B, C's, and their words, and the answers to their questions would write in the dust on the floor as they sat there. And somehow, God just captured our heart with these folks. We begin to think about it, that, well, you know, if we have our ministry in Nairobi, you know, many churches and NGOs and other organizations sponsor kids in the slums in Nairobi and the other orphanages and ministries and so forth. There are people who come to Nairobi to be in ministry. But what I want you to understand is what we begin to figure out. Nobody goes where we went. In fact, for those children, and some of the adults, some of us were the only white faces they'd ever seen. This is how far out and removed it is. You know, they have no television. There are no newspapers. There's no news. This is how far out the village is. And I remember sitting on the plane, go ahead and put the next picture on, these kids have just captured our heart. You know, I remember sitting on the plane and thinking, God, what on earth are you doing? What on earth are you doing calling us to be in ministry to a bunch of kids we just met 8,000 miles from where we live, and a whole world away, 8,000 miles, but an entire world away. What is it that you could be doing? Well, over the years, I begin to figure it out, and I begin to understand it more. And this is what I want to tell you today. What is God doing? What on earth is God doing? How is God doing it? And how can we be a part of it? I'm going to tell you that, and then I'm going to tell you about what we're going to be doing yet to come in Africa. All right, so let's get ready. Grab your pen, grab your pencil, get your sheet ready, because here we go. First thing, this is what I want you to know, is that God is building a kingdom. God is building a kingdom. God is building a kingdom. Let's say it together. God is building a kingdom. Yes, he is. God is building a kingdom. He's calling us to be difference makers. In fact, you know, the kingdom of God is a very popular term in the Bible, a major theme of Jesus. In fact, the word kingdom is used 157 times in the New Testament. It's Jesus' favorite description of what God is doing on earth, what he's doing in the world. You know, many of Jesus' famous sayings have to do with the kingdom of God. He once said that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Although it's one of the smallest of the seeds, Jesus said that once you plant it, what grows from that seed is this huge plant that's so big that the birds can nest in the branches. Then he went on to say one time, he said, the kingdom of God is like this buried treasure. It's buried treasure in a field. And it is of such great worth. All you can imagine is selling everything you got in order to buy the field to capture this grand buried treasure. The kingdom of God, Jesus is saying, is this huge thing that he's accomplishing in the world. He's building this kingdom. And in fact, he's saying that it's a priority in his life. You know, many of us are familiar with scriptures like, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Yeah, right? You know, and whenever it is that you pray the Lord's Prayer, what do we pray? We say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, we pray for the kingdom of God to come. We actually pray to be a part of it. And Jesus said, seek first his kingdom. Yeah, he taught us that. But you know, we're Americans, right? You know, we're Americans. And because we're Americans, we have this, I don't know, it's like, it's hard for us, I think, to wrap our minds around this whole concept of kingdom. And the reason why is because we've never had a king or queen to rule over us. This whole concept of kingdom is kind of foreign to us. I mean, we live in a democracy. We've never had a royal family, you know. So what in the world does it mean to be a part of the kingdom of God? And actually, what is it? Well, the Bible makes it clear. We're going to look and see what it is. It's right here from Ephesians. Look at what Paul wrote. He said, God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Now, I know that it's already underlined for you on your outline right there, but I want you to take your pen or pencil and circle the phrase, under the authority of Christ, because his plan is that eventually, one day, it's going to happen that everything is going to come under the authority of Christ. That is, that's God's plan. One day, he'll bring all things under the authority of Christ. The kingdom of God is composed now, listen, of everybody who does God's will. Now, I want you to hear that. The kingdom of God is composed of everyone who does God's will. The moment you become a believer, the moment you step across the line, the moment you say, I am going to trust in Christ for my salvation, the moment you do that, listen, you become a part of the kingdom of God. You become a part of this thing that God is building. But where in the world is it? You know, can you find it on a map? Well, the answer to that, of course, is no. Here it is. The kingdom of God is wherever, listen to this, the kingdom of God is wherever Jesus Christ is king. So, listen to me. If Jesus is the Lord of your life or the king of your life, then where is the kingdom of God? In you, right? The kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is in me. Why? Because one day I stepped across the line and I said, Lord, I trust you as my Savior. I trust you as my Lord. Come forgive me of my sin and take me one day to be with you in heaven. I made that commitment to the Lord. And so the kingdom of God is in me because Jesus Christ is king. Is he king of your life? If he's king of your life, then you are a part of this grand plan that God has for all all of us, that he's establishing his kingdom right here, right now. So, what is he doing? He's establishing his kingdom. Here's the second question, folks. How is God doing it? God is building his kingdom through what? His people. He's building his kingdom through his people. God is building his kingdom through his people. Through his people. Now, he's chosen to do that. God didn't have to do it that way, but he gave us the privilege of being a part of what in the world he's doing. You know, he's given us the privilege of being kingdom builders. He's given us the privilege of being difference makers. You know, and the moment you become a believer, you are a part of this grand plan. You're a part of what he's doing in the world. Matter of fact, check this out from 1 Corinthians. Here's the verse. It says, we are God's what? Co-workers. That's it. That's us, folks. We are God's co-workers. We're joining him. And what he is doing outside these walls and around the world, we are God's co-workers. Check the next scripture out right here. It says, through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. Thank the Lord he made peace between us. And then God gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. So, let's read what's underlined right there. We have been, there it is. We've been sent to speak for Christ. That's your job. That's what we're called to do. God has given us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. So, we've been sent to speak for Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. You know, the moment you become a believer and enter into God's plan, guess what? You ready for this? Here's a shocker. You become a missionary. That's right. Believe it or not, you know, the moment you accept Christ, you become a missionary. And some of you think, well, come on, John, I've never even been overseas. Let me tell you this. If you don't get anything else I say today, get this, all right? If you don't get anything else, get this. You don't become a missionary by crossing the sea. You become a missionary by seeing the cross. Hear it? You become a missionary not by crossing the sea, but by seeing the cross. That is when you allow Christ to transform your heart, to transform your life, to make a difference in you, and so that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can be the difference maker. Let me tell you, that's when you become the missionary. It has nothing to do with going overseas. It has everything to do about living out the gospel life exactly where it is you are. You know, folks, when you understand what Jesus Christ has done for your life and you begin to put together and understand the benefits of knowing Jesus, you just can't help but sharing it with others. So, let's think about it again. What's God doing? He's building what? Kingdom. All right, how is he doing it? Through his people, right? Okay, so here is how we can be a part of it. Be a part of it. Go ahead and put it on the screen. Here's the first one. Number one way is you make it your primary purpose. You make it your primary purpose. You make it your primary purpose. Make the kingdom of God your primary purpose. In other words, it needs to be a driving passion for your life. A driving passion of your life. In fact, here, check out the scripture right here, Luke 12. It says, God will always give you all you need from day to day. Now, what's that next word? Yeah, there it is. Say that one more time. If. Yeah. Okay. So God's going to give you everything you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. That's what he's teaching us. You know, if the kingdom of God's a driving passion in your life, God's going to supply your needs. You just make his kingdom a primary concern. God's going to say, oh, look, I'm going to take care of all your needs if you make my priorities your priorities, if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Romans 14:17 says this right here. God's kingdom is what God, I really like this verse here. Look at God's kingdom is what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. I like that. God's kingdom. What is God's kingdom? It's what God does in you. When he sets your life right, when he put your life together, because, you know, we're all like Humpty Dumpty, by the way. You know, I mean, we sat on the wall and we had the great fall by our sin, right? The fall. You know, didn't that, you understand that? The fall of humanity? Okay, all right. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put you together, but God can. We're all like Humpty Dumpty. Put that scripture. I didn't tell you to turn that off. Let's go back up there. There you go. God's kingdom is what God does with your life as he sets it right, as he puts it together, and as he completes it with joy. That's what God wants to do in your life. I love it. So what does it really mean? It means, look, that life really begins when God's kingdom is number one in your life. When it's a driving passion. Make it your primary concern. Okay, here's the second one. And that is, pray for it. There it is. Pray for it. Pray for the kingdom of God. Pray that the kingdom of God may come, right? You know, we talked about that. Whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, whenever you pray the Lord's Prayer, you pray that. The scripture says it this way, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Folks, listen, I want you to pray that, I want you to pray for your church, that we as a church would be a difference maker in our community. I mean, that we would have the kind of impact that allows us to truly make a difference in our community. I want you to pray. Here's your challenge. Pray that we as a church would be a place where we join with God in healing the hurts and the needs of the least, the last, the lonely, the lost that are suffering right here in our own community. We need to pray for your church that what God would do is make this a church that speaks out and calls out the injustices that are done and prays for the justice of God to prevail. That we would be a church that is not only the voice but the hands and feet of Christ in the world. You know, I think why some churches tend to be so milquetoasty about the kingdom and so forth is they never pray for it and believe that God really wants to use us to actually accomplish something far beyond our ability to do it on our own. And that's what God has called us to do. He has called us to do something beyond even our own ability to be able to accomplish it ourselves. And the third one is to share it with others, is to share the kingdom of God with others. Share it with others. Matter of fact, I really like the way Jesus put it. He said it in Acts 1:8. He said, go ahead and put it on the screen. The scripture says, tell people about me everywhere. First in Jerusalem and then throughout Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. The pastor who I was working with in San Antonio, Texas, used to call this the ever-widening circle. And he would paint this word picture when he would talk about this of standing over this large tub and dropping a small rock in the center of the tub. And then what happens is that once the rock hits the water, then the rings start to circle out and get wider and wider and wider until it reaches the edge of the tub. And he said, this is the way we as Christians are to live out the gospel life. We live it out at home in our Jerusalem. We live it out outside of our, maybe in our work and further out in our Judea. And to the ends of the earth, we widened our sphere of influence. And that's what I continue to pray, is that God's going to use each of us, every one of you in this room, and me too, to widen our sphere of influence so that we may be a part of what God is calling us to do as difference makers in the world. world. Now, last week, or the last 2 weeks, I've been telling you about some new initiatives that we're embarking on here at Christ Church. Let me just bring you up to date in case this is your first time with us. Over the next 2 years, we are going to do several things. First thing that we're going to do is build on a ministry, a special needs ministry for children and youth and adults and the parents of children and youth adults who have special needs. You know, we are going to be known as the church in the South County that meets the needs of those who have special needs. We're going to be a special needs church in South County. I am absolutely, totally convinced that God is calling us to do that. There is more and more and more families are joining us who have special needs children. I hear what they have to say. I can't even imagine because they tell me sometimes, they said, we get no break. And even until we came here and with the limited special needs ministry that we have going on right now, this is the first time we've ever been able to attend church together. My husband and I had never been able to attend church together until we discovered Christ Church. You know, when I hear those kinds of things and I hear the needs of special needs parents, we have got to be the church in South County that takes this kind of thing seriously. And we are. Here's another thing we're going to do. Over the next 2 years, we're going to establish a young adult ministry. You know, we talk a lot about welcoming everybody, and we do a great job from birth all the way up to high school. But then what happens is often there's nothing for those who are still here who are going to college up at Mason or going to Nova or who are not going to school but going into a career, and there's absolutely nothing for them to bring them together, to get them together, to encourage them, disciple them, to mentor them, and to help them continue a rooting and grounding in their faith. And that is not going to continue here, because we're going to establish a special needs, a young adult ministry that's going to meet the needs and reach at least 100 new young adults over the next 2 years. That's going to happen. That we will accomplish. Let me give you the third thing. We're going to start a new church called an online campus. We're going to be the only United Methodist Church in Virginia to establish this. In fact, for reasons that I don't fully understand, there are even those who are local who never will feel comfortable to step across the threshold of this church. For whatever reason, maybe they've had just a horrific experience at a church somewhere, but yet, folks, they still need Jesus, and they are still, folks are still worshiping with us online. But right now, we're not set up to disciple them, and we're not set up to mentor them. We're not set up to have Bible study for them. We're not set up to ensure that they are we're in regular contact with them for prayer requests and different needs that they may have. And some folks are cannot be here because they're worshiping with us from far-flung places around the world. Every weekend, we have a family from Puerto Rico who worships with us. Every weekend, we have a gentleman in Saudi Arabia who worships with us every weekend. We have families in Germany. We have families in England who are worshiping with us every weekend. And we need to be able to create this virtual space to come together, to pray together, to study together, to be in small group together. We're going to do that. And by the way, right now, there are more people who are worshiping with us online today than the size of the average United Methodist Church in the United States. Did you know that? And so we're going to meet their needs and going to create a congregation for them. And today, I want to talk to you about this. Here's the new one. We're going to complete the construction of our school building in Kenya. We're going to complete the construction of that school building in Kenya. And here's what I want you to understand. It was sometime around 2009, I'm going to tell you some of the stories. Sometime around 2009, I guess it was, we realized that the students could not stay in that abandoned two-room building along the side of the dirt road. They weren't there legally. It wasn't theirs to be able to be used. They couldn't stay. We had to get them out of there. And so Christchurch, we leased three or four acres of property, and we built on this property a mud and stick building with iron sheet roofing and a water catchment system in order to ensure they had fresh, clean water that they could use to drink on site. We got all of that established. We over the years we built probably 12 or 13 rooms and an administrative room as well in order to get this school established and get it legal. And what we begin to understand is, you know, because this land was leased, it didn't belong to us, it could go away at any time, they could call the lease, we could end up not having a school at all because the landowner would want to reclaim the land. So what we ended up doing was a few years ago, we found maybe 5 acres of property, somewhere close to that, and bought that property. We own it free and clear in Kenya, and then we built our first permanent building. And I want to show you that building right now, and it's right here on the screen. You can see this is the building that you built for our students in Kenya. Now, do you know we have just under 300 students? 300 students in that school. And the problem is that's still not enough classes for the 300. That just is the first set of classes. We have got to get an upper story built on that school. Now, here's what I want you to see. I'm going to show you a video and tell you the things that still yet need to be done in that school. So let's go ahead and see the video.
I'm Roberta Peterson. I am president of Hope Africa Ministries Incorporated. I have been living here in Sakwa for almost 4 years now. I am a close friend of Pastor John, and so I work to keep him informed about what's going on here at the schools. So here in the front of the building, you can see that we have frames for glass for the windows, but no glass. And here, we don't even have the frames up for the glass. So we need to have that finished. Without finished windows, the classrooms are cold and windy and dusty. This happens to be the office. We're using this as the office right now. The floor is unfinished. It needs to have a cement and a water-resistant covering put on it so that it is smooth and not so dusty. You also see some of the window frames are here in the office. Smaller windows for the front, bigger windows for the back of the building. We're inside a classroom now. Besides the floor that need finishing, we have rough walls that need to be plastered with a smooth surface that can be painted at some point. But right now, it's very rough. We do have plans to build a second floor so that we can have 6 more classrooms upstairs. So right now we have an iron sheet roof to keep the rain out and the sun out, but we just have local trees to support the roof. All right, we're outside the school now. And even though the pupils love that we have a lot of area to run around and play in, there are some problems here. The land is unlevel. As you can see, it goes down, it comes up. The big holes have water in them. We have leftover bricks, sands from building. So we want to get this area all leveled so that we'll have a nice playing area and a safe playing area for the children. Here is our students' toilets. In the front, we have four rooms for the girls, or four stalls. In the back, we have four stalls for the boys. But once the lower primary comes and joins us here on this site, we will have to build another building just like this for either the boys or girls so that they can have their separate toileting blocks.
I want to take this opportunity to thank you, you people of Christ Church, for what you have enabled us to accomplish, and my sincere prayer and desire is that as the Lord enables you, that we shall continue partnering together so that we may be able to complete these six classrooms properly and later on put up the upper floor, which is going to contain other eight classrooms, and by then we shall have had all the classes being accommodated in this property. We are sincerely grateful. May the Lord God bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord reward you. May the Lord protect you and cover you in Jesus' name.
You know, here's the problem. The problem is that right now, in the new building, grade 4, grade 5, 6, 7, and 8 are able to be in the new building. But the preschool class, the kindergarten class, first grade, second grade, and third grade are still over in the other building. Down the road in this mud and stick building. And the problem is it's falling apart. The weather is decaying it. The walls are falling in, and it's just flat out unsafe. In fact, I want to show you this piece of the video to show you what's going on there.
Yeah, I want you to imagine that in this space, this was the fourth grade class of Hope Education Center before we at Christ Church bought the land and built them a new building. You see, this classroom, as small as it is, had 36 students. Can you imagine 36 students in this size space? And besides that, the classrooms are made out of reclaimed trees and earth, that is mud. It's a dirt floor, dirt walls. And after so many years, you can see around that the walls have just crumbled, and there are holes in the wall behind me. There are the wall is almost gone on this side, and you can see that the wall is crumbling on the other side. I just want you to understand that what you're doing here is changing lives. You're changing lives by making a difference in the lives of these kids. You know, the thing that breaks the cycle of poverty is education. And we're making world changers here. We're changing the lives of kids who will then be changing the world. So I want to say thank you, Christ Church, for making a difference, for being difference makers right there in Fairfax Station that extends across the Atlantic Ocean, 8,000 miles from where we live, are nearly 300 students who depend upon your gracious sacrifice so that they may in turn be world changers that makes a difference in the world in which we live. I think it's part of the way we live out the gospel. That's what we do. It's who we are. We're followers of Jesus Christ, and we are the people of Christ Church.
We've got to get them out of there. It's just not safe. But I want to tell you one other thing. Just last year, you know, we have been, I would say this, over the years, we've been adding one grade level each year, all the way up to eighth grade. We just had our first eighth grade graduating class last year, and that's all we're allowed to add up to by law. We can't go any higher than eight. They have to go away to a boarding school to go to high school if they want to do that. And we had our first eighth grade graduating class for the very first time. And you know, our school is not that old. I mean, we only got this thing going just a few years ago, and now we've got up through eighth grade. And here's what I want you to know. There are 76 schools in the entire school district, 76 schools in this very large school district. And last year, for the first time, because we're a legal school now, our kids were able to test for the national Kenya exam. They're kind of like the SOLs kind of thing, but it is critical that you test well or you can't get to high school. You're not allowed to go to high school unless you score well on the test. Where our eighth grade students took it for the very first time last year. And I want you to see this. And I know you won't be have a hard time reading it, but I want you to see this. This is the school district right here in the council. A certificate of appreciation to Hope Education Center, which is a boarding private school. We're the private school part. Head teacher's name on being, now look, the first best overall private school in the Kenya exam 2015 with a high score of 349.55. The number one school in the school district is your school. Isn't that incredible? I know when I see that, it just takes my breath away. To realize what you've done for the kingdom of God. And so, you know, beginning today, I'm going to ask that you find your difference maker card. And whether you want to do it today or next week or the week after, but sometime during this month of October, I want you to fill this out. I want you to pray about it. And I want you to be a part of this difference maker campaign. I've told you before that if we just keep our regular giving plus increase it by $20 a week, we will fund all of these initiatives. We will fund the special needs ministry. We'll fund the online campus. We'll fund the young adult ministry. We'll fund building that second story on that school and complete our school construction by increasing our giving $20 a week, which is piddly. We can make world-changing kingdom of God difference in these next 2 years by what we're about to do in the month of October. You know, when I think about doing what God is calling us to do, I am so excited about being a part of a church with a vision, with a plan, that when we recognize, you know, that God didn't bring us 3.5 miles down the road from Cross Point to here to call us to be pew potatoes and say, okay, we've arrived. He's called us to be a part of the kingdom that he's building, and we're finally to the size we can make a major impact in the world in which we live. And we're about to do it. And so I'm going to encourage you over the next 3 weeks, put this in the offering plate. Fill it out. Put it in the offering plate. Be a part of something bigger than yourself because God has got great things in store for the people of Christ Church. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you. You have provided for us beyond our wildest dreams. We are some of the most fortunate people on the face of the earth. And we pray right now, God, that we may be the hands and feet and voice of Jesus in the world. That we would be the ones who are reaching out to the least, the last, the lost, the lonely. The ones who are making a difference in the world in which you've called us to live. Lord, do your work through us. Something bigger than we could ever begin to imagine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this church, its ministry, its outreach to the world, and every one of us in this place who makes Christ Church such an amazing place to call home. We love you, Lord, and we ask your blessing. That we may be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to